Rattaloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings your Garage Logic podcast number 1,252.
Wow.
223.24. I think either yesterday, today, or tomorrow is exactly the 2-year mark since the Ruskies invaded Ukraine. It's been going on for 2 years. 59 degrees on this day in 1958. And 25 below on this day in 1889. And last year, on this day.
December.
This day.
February 20th.
7 inches of snow.
Wow.
Hail the flashlight, King.
But see, that was last winter. I would have gladly talked over that. Okay. That was last winter, which was the last winter we've ever had. So it's no wonder that
right.
we got 7 inches last
According
year.
According to
on
Paul
this
Douglas,
day.
Certainly.
No, there's people that think this is the last one. So that's fine. This year and from here on out, there'll never be another snowfall.
Hail the flashlight, King.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Had some great emails today. Mark Tadich writes, now he's got a real problem here. This is going to be an interesting case to solve for GLers. I took the broken part of a cookie about the size of a quarter from a Holiday gas station. They have me on camera eating it at the checkout counter. I am now being charged with shoplifting and have to go before a judge next Tuesday.
What?
This occurred in Brainerd, and the store manager stated he felt violated. Any thoughts? Mark.
I thought this was going to be a punchline.
He's a GLer, so he's got to know what we're going to say.
Well, I say throw the book at him and lock him up for a year.
Well, that's a little harsh, Joe.
Yeah, a little harsh.
I'm saying he's a GLer. He knows what he did wrong. Go to the court date and hope that the judge throws this out because it's absurd.
Oh, first of all, I can't believe. Is this true? It could be true because it's really far away from the country's tallest buildings where people still expect honesty.
Yeah.
He walked up to the counter and he saw
chewing
a
on
free...
this quarter size hunk of cookie he probably saw left over somewhere.
Right.
Well, that makes me nervous, though. Why is he picking up a
cookie? Yeah, what a rube. Why would he do that?
That's neither here nor there, Matt.
Hi.
Well, that
kidding.
Was the temptation, you know?
Well, we have people on the staff who would do that.
Yeah.
I would put him in my snack pouch.
Yeah, you have a little pouch for like a kangaroo.
Did he offer to pay for said cookie he gnawed on?
I read you the entire email.
I know. I'm asking a follow-up question. You ask me to be curious all the time.
Well, I can't. How in the hell would I know?
Why start today, huh?
Right. Yeah. Why start with an idiotic question based on me not having the information?
He asks you to take part, and when you take part, you get persecuted.
Right. That's right.
Your Honor, follow-up question.
Yes, sir.
What kind of a cookie was it?
See, again, I don't know what kind of.
No further questions, please.
Yeah. Oatmeal raisin? If it's oatmeal raisin,
point of law. Well, it turns out I was in a gas station. I took a little piece of cookie. Now I'm being prosecuted. Well, let me tell you something. You's wrong. Mark, I don't know what to tell you, but Kenny's probably right. Go to court and basically say, are you kidding me? Or go to court and give him a buck for the cookie.
$1.25.
Your Honor, tell him the truth and then say, Your Honor, I'm at your mercy.
I wish we had more information, though, from this guy saying, how was he called out? The store manager was offended?
That was answered in the email, Matt.
He felt violated,
Matthew.
He was
captured on camera.
So he called the cops?
The store clerk apparently did, sure. And the store clerk said he felt violated. And again, that tells me this is a long way from the country's tallest buildings. So I believe the Brainerd part. In other words, he was up there. And
I think that person doesn't know what violated means.
No, I don't either.
I'm thinking about the video I saw yesterday of four people with armfuls of clothes that were walking out of a Target somewhere in the United States and getting in a car and driving away without being accosted by any of the employees.
I take you now to San Francisco. I love the segues. A generations-old hardware store. So this will hit the hearts of GLers. Yep. A generations-old hardware store, Frederickson Hardware and Paint, in California, is forced to go above and beyond to protect its shoppers as the state's crime wave continues to rise. Frederickson Hardware and Paint, a long-standing shopfront in the Cow Hollow Marina area of San Francisco, will now provide shoppers with a staff member to escort them through the shop. We really weren't given a choice. I mean, we have to keep our employees safe and our customers safe. When they're coming in to do snatch and grabs, that was the final straw, store manager Sam Black told local news outlet Fox 2, one of the television stations in Frisco. Frederickson Hardware and Paint is seen from the street. That's a cut line. It's a shock. This has been happening maybe all over the city and other parts of the country. Now it's finally reaching Cow Hollow, Black continued. All right, let me nip this in the bud. Could one of you ne'er-do-wells figure out where this Cow Hollow section is? It sounds like it might be in San Francisco proper. Shoppers will now be walked through the store, a hardware store, where you want to pick through the nuts and bolts of life. Shoppers will now be walked through the store by a personal attendant from the moment they walk in up until the moment they leave.
She's right off the 101, Joe, in San Francisco.
It's one of its most well-known and desirable neighborhoods. World-class boutique shopping, diverse housing market, easy proximity to recreational activities.
Is it close to downtown?
It looks like it.
I haven't seen the map yet.
I had not previously heard of Cow Hollow, but Cow has a familiarity in San Francisco. The city's arena was known as the Cow Palace.
Yeah, yeah. I believe a lot of people have chosen move there.
This will not go on the highlight reel.
It's off of Lombard Street.
Well, it's right downtown.
Close to the water, yeah.
All right. Frederickson's Hardware and Paint hopes the increased awareness and attention to each shopper will dissuade would-be criminals from continuing to ransack the store with snatch and grabs that threaten to put it out of business. The San Francisco that's another cut line. Stories about high-profile companies around the San Francisco area closing shop or hiring extra security have made grim headlines in recent months. Target closed its downtown Oakland location last year after police responded to more than 100 smash-and-grab thefts and similar incidents in 2023. In-N-Out recently announced its sole Oakland burger joint closing, the first time in the company's history it had to make such a decision due to rampant burglaries, property damage, and armed robberies in the area. Picture shown. A Denny's also closed down last month because of a crime epidemic. Blue Shield, Clorox, and Kaiser Permanente, the largest employer in Oakland, have issued warnings to employees, hired security guards, or taken other actions in response to the crime surge in the city. And may I add, you know, I don't often cite Twitter, known as X, but sometimes you're scrolling through it looking for something, and you might come across a video, as I did yesterday, of a police officer. Two videos. One was a police officer who was getting routinely slugged in the face by a black woman, a very large woman, heavy set. So her punches carried some weight. And his partner happened to be a black police officer. He watched his white partner take a few of these hits and then stepped in and decked this woman. Because the white officer obviously was so trained that he better not.
This could be a trap
here. That
he
sit there and took it.
Wow. Hmm.
The other one I saw was a black female motorist was pulled over because the cop smelled a great deal of weed in her car.
Okay, she got weed.
And then the checks they do on the license plate revealed that the license plate didn't belong on her black MDX. They came off a stolen Saturn. And she was confronted about this and just said, well, I'm not getting out of the car.
Yeah.
I legally parked right here on the side of the street. The cop said, you're under arrest. I have to confront you about this. And he was patient. It took him 5 minutes. You have to get out of the car. She just refused. Finally, he pulled her out of the car. My point being that the decline of moral and ethical integrity, which includes a complete breakdown of the civil contract, is rampant in this country.
Yeah.
It's part of the downfall of this country. Are people refusing to obey simple instructions from authorities?
Yeah, those two examples you cited, the internet is chock-a-block with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's happening thousands of times every day. That's what our police are dealing with.
There are guys, I'm sure you've seen them, Kenny, on Twitter or X, I guess, who basically put out training videos how to ignore police when they stop you.
Oh, those videos make me so angry.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to watch without being angry.
Yep.
I saw a funny one. What was it? I can't think of it. Oh, cop says, what's your name? She says, Frida. Frida what? Frida to go. So she's thank you, it takes off.
Come on.
Yeah. Free to go. But then I saw another one. Honest to God, I'm loath to mention these things, but my God, as Kenny said and John said, they're all over the interwebs. It was a black teacher in a high school situation and a black student endlessly in the front of the room, defying any authority whatsoever, kept calling the teacher the N-word. And the teacher took it and took it and took it. And the most disappointing part of the video was that all the other kids were doing it was filming and guffawing. None of them were compelled to display any humanity or civility at all. And it went on and on and on.
And when did you know it was going to go down?
When the teacher finally approached the guy and just decked him.
No. You knew it was about to go down when the teacher took off his glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, so the situation was resolved. And then I suppose the teacher got fired, right?
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know what happened to the teacher. But I don't envy these teachers if that's what they're putting up with.
It says a lot about where we're at as a society just on the behavior of the rest of the students, that they would just sit there passively and either laugh or tape it or not do anything at all.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They laughed and taped it.
Yeah, it says a lot about where we're at.
And then when the teacher finally reacted, all you got was a bunch of cheering and oohing and aahing. Oohing and aahing.
Mm. But I think that's an indication of also where we're at. There's just so many people out there who are unwilling to get involved because they're afraid of retribution.
What's coming?
What do you mean?
What's coming?
It's here. It's here. So yesterday,
the reckoning would imply a change, wouldn't it? Wouldn't the reckoning imply that we've had this cannot continue?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah,
I don't think it's hyperbole to say doesn't make any difference where you live. It doesn't make any difference what your socioeconomic status is. It doesn't make any difference if you're an honest, taxpaying, God-fearing citizen. No one is safe from the decline of moral and ethical integrity. It's happening in every corner of every city. The closer you get to the country's tallest buildings, and then you have this foul criminal in Brainerd who took a piece of cookie. So it's happening everywhere.
Listen, remember yesterday we talked about the trans athlete, a guy that had trans to a girl, and he had a beard, and he was in high school. And what did he do?
He He threw. He would, in the act of wrestling for the ball, he just inevitably was throwing all the other girls to the
right.
to the floor
and causing injuries. Right.
Yeah.
And this, of course, inspired rage with me, and I was wondering why nobody went out there and punched this guy. Why a teacher or a student or a parent went out there? I got a email from our guy Bob in Alexandria. I totally agree with the bearded basketball baboon. He needed a good ass kicking. Then I thought about my love for guns and or the repercussions of a violent offense that would have for sure been recorded. Then I thought about fighting injustice like the idiots stopping traffic by sitting on 35W. The parents should have just done a sit-in and refused to get off the court. That's a good point. The parents should have gone out there, sat down, and stopped the whole thing from happening. The ref should have also ejected him for a flagrant foul. It's really sad. And Bob makes a good point. The parents should have just gone down there and done one of those ridiculous sit-ins and made the whole thing stop. Nonviolent.
I cannot contest that. I agree. Yep.
Somebody's got to step in.
The game did stop it only because the team
with the forfeited females the game.
Said, hey, you know what? We don't want any more people hurt. We're
yeah, done. It shouldn't have stopped. Come to that. It shouldn't have come
nope,
to that.
Not at all.
Hail the Flashlight King.
Hail you.
I previously sent you my income tax documents for the township trustee position I currently hold at the outrageous salary of $25 a year. This is Chuck in Alabama. He's referencing the corrupt mayor of Dalton, Illinois, who's been stealing the taxpayers blind, however, allegedly. Today, I listened to you stumble upon the salaries of the school board members that dwell in the land of the tall buildings. Well, I also previously served as a school board member for around 10 years while the kids I used to have were in the local public school. I will not be providing my tax documents because I made exactly zero for those years. Out here where the tall buildings happen to be grain elevators, the people that I served with did so because it was important to our small towns that we hold on to local control of our most important resources against the pressures of the mystery. No one ever expected to be paid, and no one stayed too long. Seems to me that you folks in the big city are begging the mystery to take control of those important resources by paying handsomely for mysterians or worse to bring their ideas to reality. Essentially, public resources, your money, are being used to provide well-paying jobs for activists that otherwise could not make a living peddling their BS. Our crusty and tight-fisted board was intent on keeping track of every one of those tax dollars. There is an enormous difference in the outcomes. Good luck, Chuck, in Alabama. Isn't that splendid? That's a piece of America that's gone.
But that, did you get the email I sent you from our friend?
Yes, do I have that here? You may read it.
Just listen to you guys and your clip on Minneapolis school board members' salaries. Way back when, a couple of friends were on the local small-town school board. The members did not take a salary. Also, for several years, the teachers did not take a raise. The district barely had enough money to buy toilet paper. Then the state stepped in and said they had to take a salary and the teachers had to accept a raise. Small-town schools could be very efficient if the state government wasn't involved.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's like in Sioux Falls, but they are telling us that it's extraordinarily better in Sioux Falls, particularly if you're thinking about relocating. You take a look around at what's happening in Minnesota, and you might think, you know what? I've got a growing business here. I really like it. I want to grow it, but I'm not sure if Minnesota is the best place. You might want to take a look at Sioux Falls. They have available buildings, build-ready sites, get your company up and running fast, and you can make some money in Sioux Falls because they don't have the tax situation that we do. These companies that have moved there are already enjoying shorter commutes, safer streets, quality of life excellence. Join them and discover that they have productive people, affordable land, reduced red tape, fewer taxes.
Let's go.
And higher profits. which is what capitalism is all about, but we're surrounded by people attempting to undo capitalism. Not in Sioux Falls. Maybe 2024 is the time to make your move. Find out all the information you need at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. That's one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
'Logic Town Council member. Here's what you're missing.
You know who you kind of remind me of, Joe, especially today? One of those snobs that lives over in Great Britain that just poo-poos everything American.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Tay-Tay, football parties.
You not like happiness, Joe?
Matthews parties.
Morons.
All-American football hero. Half of America's sweethearts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally the royalty of the United States of America, and you hate half of them.
I gotta give her credit. When she slugged down that beer on the scoreboard, that was pretty cool.
She can drink a beer.
That was pretty cool.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
67 seconds.
No, 61.
I have 7 seconds of quality stuff.
2, 3.
You can start, yeah.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
I know Joe Souchere, and I know that if his air conditioning unit, his heating unit, or whatever was making funny noises, he would want it looked at. Well, I'll tell you who to call, Garage Logicians and Joe Souchere. It's Ray N. Welter Heating. WelterHeating.com has certified technicians that serve the entire metro area and have been doing so for the last 120 years. That's 4 generations. That's certified techs that look at your heating unit, your cooling unit. If you want to wake up that AC, you might have to if it's going to be warm all summer here. Well, at some point, you got to turn it on to make sure it's ready. Tune-ups, fixes, whatever the case may be, WelterHeating.com can help you. If you go to that website and click on the blog, you might have your questions answered for free. Questions, comments, feedback, concerns, that's Ray N. Welter at WelterHeating.com, 612-825-6867, 612-825-6867, 6970.
To me, there's no greater example. How do I say this?
Go.
There's no greater example of our decline than Minneapolis continuing to insist that the theft of Hyundais and Kias is the fault of the car.
That's stupid.
That if you would have told me that, you know, back when I was in high school or college, it would have been unthinkable to think we would come to that. And the Minneapolis City Council wants Hyundais and Kias recalled. They want them taken off the street.
How much power do they really think they have?
Was this before or after the ceasefire discussion?
Yeah, right.
Did they have the recall discussion?
This is after the ceasefire discussion.
Okay, good, good.
But because apparently they're too easy. Is it really easy? Think about it for a minute. First of all, isn't it really a door problem and not an ignition problem? Are Hyundai and Kia doors easier to break open?
It's the ignition problem.
Yeah,
but it's still, you have to dismantle the steering column and then get in there with whatever wiring system you need. I don't know how to do it. My point is, it's not the car's fault.
Oh, and it goes beyond that. But by dismantling, they just break it open. Yeah. It's just that plastic shroud thing. And then they just jam a thing in there and break it, and away we go. What's really interesting in this article, and I didn't realize this, the theft, it's a problem for all Kia and Hyundai owners because these criminals are idiots. And so they'll break into cars that have fixed this already, and they go through all the motions, and then they can't get it started.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the owner is left there with a broken steering column and a broken window.
But why is it that much harder to steal a Lincoln MKX? You still have to break in. You still have to wreck the steering column. Then you expose the ignition components. Why are they different? What, that would be just as difficult or just as easy.
What's the power plant in the MKX?
I suppose it's a 6-cylinder. I don't know.
Oh.
In 2023, in Minneapolis, there were 4,520 thefts involving Kia or Hyundai. In St. Paul, 694 thefts. So four times six is 24. Four times as many. Four times six. No.
Nope.
Eight
Let's
times
see.
Six.
Math.
Eight times
there we
as
go.
Many. Right? Uh-huh. Eight times.
No, 16. No, four.
Oh, my
no,
God.
32.
64?
Copy. I was wondering. Like,
it's such an abandonment of even the expectation of personal responsibility that it's hard. I can't identify with this thinking. I can't identify with these elected people.
Thank you.
Coming to the conclusion that the behavior is not the problem, it's the car. I can't get there.
Why are they wasting? Why are they wasting their time? Because they know they can't call for a Minneapolis recall. That's not doable. So why waste time on it?
I don't know.
You mean a politician might be purely doing this?
Here's what's disappointing about that, Matthew. This Elliot Payne nut job from Ward 1 is the one that slapped this all together. And every single one of the council members signed on, even our gal in the fourth, Latricia. They all signed on. They all think it's a good idea.
Gosh.
Not one of them has the common sense to say what we've been saying. And you know what else I find disappointing? I went to the old Google. Steering wheel locks start at $25. And that's a visual deterrent. You walk up to a car, you see the steering wheel locked, you move on.
And in attempting to shift blame for theft to the person who made the item that gets stolen, how are they going to account for these thefts have been involved with 5 homicides, 13 shootings, 36 robberies, and 265 crashes?
Good point.
What about that stuff?
So now are the deaths and the shootings, are they the fault of the automobile too?
No, they would be the fault of the gun if that was involved.
In our right. Yes.
You know, the other problem that these kids really don't know how to drive. 265 crashes is outrageous. They don't have a dad at home who set up the two garbage barrels 50 feet apart and teaching the kid to parallel park and then get in the car with him and drive around the block.
Right.
That isn't happening.
You have the obligatory fight.
They have no concept about body roll or pushing in corners or front wheel drive versus. They have no concept. So they're just driving them around like they're slot cars and then they crash.
It's kind of shocking, Minneapolis City Council President Elliot Payne said Wednesday. Payne is the lead sponsor of a resolution signed by all 13 city council members that was 13. Approved yesterday. The resolution calls on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to initiate a national recall of Kia and Hyundai vehicles not equipped with the technology to prevent theft. And Mayor Fry is expected to sign it. Last year, Fry and Melvin Carter in St. Paul and Attorney General Keith Ellison called on the two automakers to voluntarily recall the roughly 4 million vehicles that are vulnerable because they weren't made with immobilizers that would render them undrivable without a key. Their thinking is so narrow, the council. It's so
Jake.
Stunted.
Jake.
Because, everybody can always figure out a way to steal something.
Yep.
So now you're going to recall all the Hyundais and Kias with the presumption that that's going to make them theft-proof. Well, what if another way is discovered to steal the car?
Be another way.
Then what are you going to do?
This is what the criminals do.
Imagine the incredible cost associated with the recall. And then think about who's going to bear the burden of that cost in the future?
Not the car Elliot buyers. Payne.
No, the car buyers, the people that have to buy them. So now your affordable car just went up a couple thousand dollars.
Payne, who apparently is an automotive engineer on the side, believes that this is a failure of engineering design.
Wow. Couldn't be written any better.
Car manufacturers, because it's aside from the mandate to drive an EV, are not necessarily government entities. They have rooms full of people who try to keep the cost down. For example, in all Porsches, do you know why the key is on the left side of the dashboard? On the left side of the steering wheel.
Because that's the side of the street you drive on.
No.
Oh.
It's because at the very beginning, it saved Porsche that much money in wire to run it across to the other side
really?
Of the steering wheel. Yes.
Wow.
They're constantly thinking of these things. So what really, what Payne wants to do, and the other 13, this is tantamount to them blaming the engineers for discovering a cost-cutting measure. The engineers, which would never occur to a civil human being to even wonder about.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't come into your consciousness, I'm buying a Kia because it's easy to steal. That doesn't come into your consciousness. I'm buying a Kia because it's at a price point that I can afford, or a Hyundai that I can afford. And one of the reasons, presumably, it's going to amount to 25 cents or something, but, you know, multiply 25 cents by however many millions of cars Hyundai and Kia sell a year. So right. It's going to come down to, the engineers figure out a way to save 32 cents on each car. And as you, what's your problem?
Nothing.
As you play that out over time and multiply it, it's a great reason why Hyundais and Kias might be more affordable than another brand you happen to be looking at. But so what we have is the city council condemning engineering for adhering to capitalism, basically. We have to design cars that can't be stolen.
Capitalism is evil, as you know.
I looked it up on the Porsche. The reason it's on the left-hand side of the steering column is the guy was left-handed.
The original owner, I believe.
Right. So to save the wire.
Why don't you look it up for real and see what they say?
Because that's just pointless information.
No, it isn't pointless information, you idiot.
All right, I looked up pointless
information. You know, if John Candy was a Porsche engineer, you would have known all about it.
Porsche! Okay, why?
So you remember we went through this a year or so ago, right? And Ellison actually launched an investigation into the companies to determine if they violated Minnesota's consumer protection and public nuisance laws. He wanted them to say that this was a safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the manufacturers told him to, you know, take a flying leap.
I got it. Go. This is from wheelsguru.com. I'm unfamiliar, but maybe you know of the site. As the start flag would be waved, the drivers had to jump in their cars and start them to race through the tracks. The Porsche engineers later on realized that changing the location of the ignition to the left would save time as compared to that required for the traditional car start in the Le Mans race.
I also read that it had to do with the amount of wire required to manufacture, you know, 10,000 cars.
There's some good reading there, huh? Yeah. The ignition switch on the left allowed a Porsche driver to start the car while shifting into gear and steering off.
Oh, there you go. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, really, how much time are we talking? It's not like you stop and ate lunch.
It's critical.
You have no idea.
You don't.
I drove.
You don't even change your
I went around. I was in Elkway.
So the racing aspect of that.
Elkway.
Who was in Elkway? It's a new track. It's a brand new track.
I drove the track at Elkhart Lake.
Dirt track?
No.
Okay, now you're just hurting my feelings, Joe.
Is the racing...
Well, they wouldn't let us go over 50 miles an hour.
Is the racing component of that, does that make any sense?
Yes, it makes a great deal of sense. I am under the impression that I did read about wire. Maybe it was a Peter Egan column or something, but I read about wire years ago.
Yes. Also, on the left side of the steering column, the ignition key is there to save on wiring and money and stuff.
Not to be tedious here, Joe, are we talking left-hand drive or right-hand drive?
Left-hand drive. What's the difference? Never mind. It's
all this information.
We kind of drove off the road there.
The larger point is... Auto manufacturers, given that we've elected the wrong people all over the country, automobile manufacturers will be expected from here on out to manufacture cars that can't be stolen.
Ferdinand Porsche was born in 1875. He died in Germany in 1951. No word on whether he was left-handed.
Got it. You see?
Ferdinand.
Volkswagen.
Marcos.
Hitler's car.
No, it was the people's car.
Hitler.
I apologize to the GLers.
People of Garage Logic for my
if you were offended
colleagues,
by that conversation.
But I can't seem to
proper attire
keep any of this under control, and I apologize.
Things like that happen.
Thank you.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Hey, you.
How you doing, Joe?
Lisa the Uper.
Yep. Upper Peninsula.
That's right. All registered voters in, is it Gogebic?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gogebic.
Gogebic County received an application for absentee voting for the last presidential election. I have a friend who received three applications. One for him.
Nice.
One for his brother, who was dead for 15 years, and one for his wife, who was a resident in a nursing home in neighboring Wisconsin and has been for a couple of years. My friend is as honest as the day is long, but not everybody is, .. I like to vote in person on election day. I love that tradition. We do have to show ID at our polling places. Always pushing back, Uper Lisa. I got a great email today from a guy named Dan McGrath, who I have heard from previously. I did not know he was a savant of the election process. Okay. I did not know he was...
His main deal, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to have him as a guest. And right off the bat, we can correct one thing. John, you don't need an ID.
You do not need an ID. Dan and I traded some emails after that email, and you do not need an ID to vote in Minnesota.
So Dan FYI'd Mr. FYI?
Well, Dan is, the email is very long and in-depth and explains many things about elections. He's written books about this. He's been an advisor for...
Was he nice?
Yes, let me read you his first paragraph.
Was it Dan McGrath?
Yes.
What time are you playing?
That happened. I have a friend named Dan McGrath, and he emailed me, and I said, what time are we playing? And this Dan McGrath called back and said, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. Well, there could be two Dan McGraths. This is the voting one.
Ironic, Joe, as we talked about earlier, when you read this Dan McGrath's email, he says he was involved in a court case against your Dan McGrath.
Right.
So it was McGrath v. Dan McGrath.
I just want to establish one thing before we go any further. Further or farther, I don't care. Dan McGrath, in his email to you, John, wasn't condescending in any manner.
I'm trying to read it if you'd shut up.
Yeah, and then I'll tell you the follow-up because Joe didn't receive the follow-up. But
Dear Mayor, esteemed counselors and aldermen, for the love of God, please just please just stop talking about our election systems. Every time you do, I end up screaming at my speakers because of the gross information you guys spread. John is beyond doubt the worst offender, and I'll give you, my dear fireworks commissioner, some credit for trying. But none of you know what the bleep you're talking about. It's always more painful for me to listen to than when you're attempting math on the air. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Ooh, and then he goes on to list his credentials, which are splendid.
Yes.
He was employed by Minnesota Majority. Research I led into our election system resulted in the discovery of and prosecution of ineligible voters. My work on voter fraud led to numerous criminal convictions. There is no higher standard proof that I can think of. My work was featured in the lead chapter of Hans von Spakovsky, voting section, Justice Department attorney and Heritage Foundation fellow, John Funds, Wall Street Journal book, Who's Counting? It was the showcase feature in Eric Schaun's hour-long Fox News documentary, Stealing Your Vote. On and on and on. The guy's written his own book about election fraud. And Dan, I haven't contacted you yet, but please anticipate that I will. And I would love to have you come in. And one of the things I want to know from this election expert is, have we fixed something that wasn't broken? Mm-mm. That's what I want to know.
Okay.
Because I maintain that the election process has become confusing, and you can't get the results you want without confusion.
I think, and Dan talked about this in one of the later emails to me. He'll probably, if he comes on the show, talk about this. He said they just keep adding layers of this thing, the same thing.
Well, maybe we're even going to convert you, John, because...
Well, on this subject, I think I'm converted. I there's other parts of the election process I'm not, though.
Yeah.
And as Dan and I talked about in emails.
Yeah.
Well, let's have him on right away. Let's have him on next week.
Well, I'm going to get a hold of him.
Right away.
I did, in speaking for you guys, the first line to my first email to him was, if you think elections are the only thing we talk about that we don't know anything about, you're obviously not listening to the show. So
could write another book.
I think it would be fun to have both Dans on at the same time. And you say, well, Dan, what do you think? And then they both start talking and they don't
One could talk about Joe's awful backswing.
Right.
May we take a time out and bring back John Hite?
We can, but I want to mention my friends at North American Banking Company. In fact, I was just on the phone with Mike last night. He's the greatest, and here's why you should move your family's banking needs to North American Banking Company and ditch that big national bank. You get a personalized conversation from somebody. Yeah, that's not going to happen with your big national banks. North American Banking Company is locally owned and operated. When they first opened back in 1998, they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, well, that has not. And I have firsthand experience of that, and that's why I'm so glad that I made the switch to North American Banking Company. My location's in Roseville, but you can also see them at 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. And don't worry, they offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank. And I did mention they're locally owned and operated. Here's why that's a big deal. That means for you business owners, loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They don't send these out of state. So it helps you solve problems quickly and expand your business with confidence. They deal with numbers every single day, but you are never one of them. So check them out online today. NABankCo.com to learn more. That's NABankCo.com to learn more. It's banking done differently. North American Banking Company member FDIC is an equal housing lender. Let's mention the Frontline Foundation here for a moment. I know we've been doing a great job, and thanks to all of you GLers. Gentlemen, we've raised a lot of money for the Frontline Foundation, and we want to thank everybody for going to GarageLogic.com and placing their donation. We've heard from a lot of GLers both via email and through social media, so we just personally wanted to thank you all for doing that.
Well, two guys were cut down at the age of 27. The other guy was 40. They all left mouths to feed. I don't know what their family financial structure was, but that's neither here nor there. this is an example of where they need some help.
Exactly.
And getting over the loss of those, again, life just keeps going on. You still need to pay the electric bill. You still need to pay the mortgage. I think this is a great way for us as GLers to just chip in. Chip in. For the whole club's got to chip in.
And they've exhausted their coffers, so what we want to do is refill those coffers. And I'm just throwing it down right now. I'm placing a limit. We at least have to raise $5,000. At the very, very least, we need to raise $5,000. What are we, just over $1,000 right now, Chris?
Where do you send the money?
$1,300, I think.
You go to garagelogic.com. You can't miss the big giant banner ad that's on the homepage right there.
Is there an address, seriously, to send a check?
There might be, but you can easily donate online by going to garagelogic.com.
Well, how do you do that? With a card?
Yes.
I don't like that. I want to send them a check.
No, Such, here's what we want. We want you and everybody else to make an effort. Making the effort is a bigger deal than the money. We know that. Just please make the effort.
What if it confuses me?
Come on, right, Joe.
Here. Oh, no, it's super easy to do.
Is there an address, Matt?
There is not an address.
What about if I wrote a check and walked it? I have this advantage over the public. And walked it down to Ross. Would that work?
Yes.
All right.
That probably would work. Once again, garagelogic.com. Click on that banner ad and help us help all of the good people that are doing the Lord's work.
Right.
That's for sure. Okay. Garagelogic.com. And you have until this coming Sunday to make your donation.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Soucheray.
Hey, Katie, bring me some more grapes. I'm going to do a short here.
What's that whistling sound?
Rub oil on me, too, while you're
Katie.
Oh, my gosh.
Katie, are you whistling while we're driving?
Here's John Height.
Here's Kenny Olson.
I'm sorry.
So our GLer Jason wrote us earlier this week. He had a 2014 Ford Explorer, almost undrivable at 170,000 miles because it would shake on acceleration. So Jason replaced all the plugs, the coils, did all that to no avail. So he thought maybe, just maybe, it might be the transmission. Dumped in two cans of Seafoam TransTune and Viola. It drives like brand new, truly unbelievable. I even have a Ford Explorer story. Back in the 90s, I had two Explorers and four transmissions. I wish I would have known about Seafoam TransTune. It's a miracle drug for your ride, like everything else from TransTune. You can also use it in your power steering if the power steering is hanging up or acting sticky. The TransTune, the Deep Creep, Top Engine Cleaner, the engine treatment, it's all available for purchase almost everywhere. A local company with a global reach and a true miracle in a world of bad gas, Seafoam.
Here's John Height.
Thank you, Joe. This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. New info now on the murder of those first responders in Burnsville last weekend. According to a news release yesterday from the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, officers first responded at 2 a.m. Gooden at the time refused to leave the house, insisted he was unarmed. Well, police entered the house, negotiated with him for about 3.5 hours to try and get him to surrender peacefully. However, just before 5:30 in the morning, he started shooting without any warning, according to the BCA. Mm-hmm. A search warrant indicated Gooden retreated into a bedroom, barricaded himself inside before opening fire. Yes, sir.
Well, I was going to wait till you're done.
Oh, okay. Three police officers who were shot during the encounter, two died. One was injured. First responder, firefighter, paramedic, was shot while giving aid to the wounded officers. The three men died of their injuries. The officer who was injured was taken to a hospital and released on Monday. Gooden continued shooting at emergency personnel. I don't know if you guys saw the video of them pulling away this armored vehicle. Mm-hmm. The thing was shot to pieces.
Yeah,
basically.
I saw that.
It looked like Bonnie and Clyde's Ford.
Exactly. Yeah. The BCA said Officer Javier Jimenez did fire a sniper rifle at Gooden while he was shooting from the second floor window. Eventually, Gooden turned the rifle on himself. He was found dead when officers went inside. Investigators say Gooden fired more than 100 rounds during the encounter. Several guns and a stockpile of ammunition were found at the crime scene.
Is it unreasonable to say that these coppers made a critical mistake in believing this guy? In other words, they went in the house and apparently the guy's yelling at them, I don't have any weapons or something, and they They believed that.
I'm not going to say they made an error.
Well, I'm not condemning them for making an error. I'm saying that was an error to believe that, apparently, because they then talked for 3 hours.
Yeah. Right.
Before this idiot started shooting.
But, yeah.
So what, I mean, what, I'm serious, what lesson do coppers have to learn from this? I guess you can't believe what you're hearing from the guy. You're responding to a horrible domestic abuse call.
These cops were smart enough to realize the type of person they were dealing with based upon history.
Well, and then negotiating for that many hours.
Yes, they were.
Well, how?
Negotiating for that many hours, though, and then...
We as civilians shouldn't be speculating on what they did or didn't do. We just don't have any frame of reference whatsoever. We don't know what it's like. The only thing we know is these domestic violence calls are by far the most dangerous calls that police have to respond to.
Then I'll leave it at this. They were lied to.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, plus the 7 kids in the building, I'm sure, came into the whole equation of what was going on, too, as far as negotiating, et cetera. So.
And maybe they thought we better be in there for the sake of the 7 kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, I just donated online. It's super easy to do.
Did you give him $5?
I gave him 50.
All right.
Yeah. Anything. Doesn't matter. $5, 50, 500.
Somebody else just gave 50. Somebody just gave 500. Somebody anonymous just gave $500. So we're up to $2,000.
A judge has blocked a request by Hennepin County prosecutors to temporarily restrict public access to motions filed in the criminal case against Minnesota State Trooper Ryan Londrigan. Londrigan faces charges of second-degree murder, second-degree manslaughter, and first-degree assault in connection with the shooting death of Ricky Cobb II during a traffic stop on I-94 last summer. Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty's office had argued there was an interest in a protective order restricting access to certain documents, particularly motions and attached evidentiary exhibits, due to concerns that pretrial publicity could influence a jury trial. Prosecutors requested a 2-day review period before making those files public. Judge Tamara Garcia denied the motion, calling it premature and overbroad. Christopher Medell, an attorney representing Londrigan, says the defense team is grateful for the court's orders. Our friends at 5 Eyewitness News did reach out to the Hennepin County Attorney's Office for comment and still hasn't gotten a response. Metro Transit introduced its new team of agents with the Rider Investment Program yesterday. Transit Rider Investment Programs, otherwise called TRIP, agents will work to build a stronger official presence on transit, in addition to inspecting fares and issuing citations for not paying. Metro Transit says the introduction of TRIP agents brings a more official presence to the transit system, as agents can help transit customers and answer questions. Before, only sworn officers could issue citations for not paying, but thanks to a new state law, TRIP agents can ask riders for proof of a payment, and if you don't have it, you'll face a $35 fine. Joining the TRIP agents are police, community service officers, supplemental security at 7 busy stops, and a group to address homelessness and mental health.
And if these idiots install turnstiles and a means by which you cannot get on the train without a paid-for ticket. End of story.
So, John, am I to assume that all of these TRIP agents will be accompanied by an armed officer?
It doesn't say all. It just says there'll be officers on the...
Because what's going to stop, and my question being then, what's going to stop the bad guy from simply slapping this guy or, you know?
Yeah. Good question.
You'll probably have to do your drugs in a separate car then from where the TRIP agent would be, Kenny.
Yeah, it's like the... Like the train has the
listen,
dining
you
car.
Idiots, have you ever tried walking or running and smoking meth at the same time?
It's pretty tough.
Almost impossible.
Only the best can do it right.
Interesting story in the Star Tribune today. A tiny Canadian company is hoping Minnesota's Iron Range could be the next source of a globally sought-after element, helium. Huh. Far from simply giving lift to balloons, the gas has become an essential ingredient in space exploration, semiconductor chip manufacturing, and some medical imaging.
And funny voices.
I guess I didn't know what helium was. Is it mined as a liquid?
I don't know.
It turns into a liquid at super low temperatures. If you would have read the article, you would have known that.
I did, and I thought you mine it as a liquid.
According to our geologist, Stacy, her lab analyzed that first helium sample in 2011.
Yeah, that's what the story says. Large pockets are rare, but by chance, drillers looking for platinum and palladium stumbled on what may be a major reservoir locked in more than 1,700 feet of underground near Babbitt, Minnesota. And as Kenny said, that discovery in 2011 made the region part of a global hunt for the gas, which is becoming more expensive as U.S. supplies dwindle. The British helium-based company Pulsar Helium started its own drilling in the same area this month in an effort to see if the chance finding can turn into a viable business. Tom Abraham James, Pulsar's CEO, said, "We came in and thought, well, that looks magnificent. Helium, the buoyant and inert gas, has some qualities that make it uniquely useful. It's a liquid at incredibly low temperatures, allowing it to supercool magnets in MRI machines, according to the Radiological Society of North America. It aids manufacturing of those semiconductor chips. It's also a critical component of space exploration, keeping cooled liquid fuels and hot gases separate inside a rocket."
As with
in unusual situations...
You don't always get what you expect.
Morgan Freeman.
As with any gas whose density differs from that of air, inhaling a small volume of helium temporarily changes the timbre and quality of the human voice.
Did all the miners come out of there talking funny, I wonder?
Hello, how are we, Pop?
I think they can just mine it by putting wells in, right? Right, Stacy? Right?
Or just maybe a big balloon.
I'm going to read you an interesting email. It's along these lines.
Okay.
From David Rand. Imagine we lived in a world where all cars were EVs. Everything's EV. Trucks, cars, everything. And then along comes a new invention called the internal combustion engine. Think how well they would sell a vehicle half the weight, half the price, that will almost quarter the damage done to the road. A vehicle that can be refueled in one-tenth of the time and has a range of up to four times the distance in all weather conditions. It does not rely on the environmentally damaging use of non-renewable rare earth elements to power it and uses far less steel and other materials. Just think how excited people would be for such technology. It would sell like hotcakes. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Is that the end of it?
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was going to end with, because that's what really happened. EVs go way, way back, and they decided that they gasoline... Yeah,
that's exactly what happened at the beginning. The manufacturer said, I can't make any money selling this electric buggy.
Gasoline was better than both steam and electricity.
Yeah, just think about helium.
Darling, my love for you is everlasting.
I know.
Sweetheart. You are my true soulmate.
So Stacy says the plan is to put in a well.
Put in a well?
Yep, it's just so there's no digging involved. Yep.
Okay.
In national and international news, well, let's start with the goat show we call the presidential election, shall we? Some backers of President Biden are worried about news that he's been using note cards, not just in public affairs, but also closed-door fundraisers, calling on pre-screened donors, then consulting his notes to provide detailed answers.
What about the boudoir?
Hey, now.
Oh, yikes. The staged Q&A sessions have left some donors wondering whether Biden can withstand the rigors of a presidential campaign.
No, he can't.
Now, it's not unusual for presidents. In fact, most recent presidents, George H.W., George W., Barack Obama, and Donald Trump, have all carried crib notes or used teleprompters when they're at public events and meetings. But it's unusual, needless to say, for somebody to use them in private events.
How do we get to the place where, you know, Putin decides he's going to just invade Russia?
Wow. Wow.
That was just
that's a mix-up.
It's just a mix-up.
It took me a minute to see the problem there. But now
I told the boss today at home that I was thinking of I'm seriously thinking of not voting. And I got quite a tongue lashing.
Oh, did you?
How'd that feel?
Oh, I'm used to it.
Speaking of the,
I have a question for John. So you're saying Trump used index cards or cheater cards? Do you suppose he had written down on one of those cards, "Your wife is a mutt"? Have you ever seen this guy's wife? And all those other insults that he throws out.
The problem is for
did he have a card that said, "The last time I saw a mouth like that, it had a hook in it"?
Did he have those kind of things written down?
The problem is he had 10 cards with him.
Yeah.
Between every card, he'd do the equivalent of about 3 more cards.
Bet you were something, baby, when the Beatles were hot.
He did have some pretty funny, the clip of the president and Nancy Pelosi shuffling along the carpet.
Who does that?
But did you see what the president...
It was a nursing home.
But Trump put that video up that was, it was fake, but it was still
I know it was fake, funny. But it was a funny. Yeah. It's Biden and Pelosi walking across an airport.
A runway.
I'm Joe Biden. How are you?
I was going to say, and you're talking about somebody?
Walking across a tarmac at the airport, right. And there's music in the background, and it was, you know, something like, "Visit Shady Rest Work Home." It's just wonderful.
That was kind of funny.
He doesn't have any, but he's just a few years behind.
I know.
He's not that young.
I was just going to say, did you see his speech last night?
Thankfully, no.
Trust me, you don't want to.
Was it funny?
Was it at CPAC?
No, he looked really tired and was slurring around and making no sense through some of the sentences. It was sad, really.
Despite the fact that he's not necessarily a full human, wouldn't it be true that how long can you last with this kind of pressure on you?
Oh, right.
You're wanted in every state in the union. There's not a court that wouldn't have you. You got about 15 trials you're facing. You've just lost every penny you ever had, and you never had much to begin with. It's all been a shell game. And now you're supposed to be paying people $345 million here and $300 million there. How can the guy even live?
What is it like to be that much of a narcissist?
Oh, God.
I can't even comprehend that.
It's got to be wearing.
Happy birthday to you.
Right,
happy birthday to you.
These were the good days.
Happy birthday, dear Valerie. Happy birthday to you.
Meanwhile, speaking of Donald Trump's money situation.
Yes, sir.
January, apparently not a good month. He raised $8.8 million, spent almost $12 million. His only Republican opponent, by contrast, raised twice that much during the time. Nikki Haley, over $16 million. Now, those numbers do not include money raised by the Trump-associated Political Action Committee or the Republican National Committee. The problem with that is most of the money raised by those PACs, including his Save America PAC, have gone to pay for the president's, as you said, Joe, mounting
legal bills. You Trumpers realize when you cut this psychopath a check that he's spending it on himself?
Right.
Don't you realize that?
You have just to buy the admit, shoes. A televised debate between those two no moderator would be the funniest thing you've ever seen on TV.
It might have bigger ratings than the Super Bowl.
Oh my God, it would just be so hilarious. Wow. I can't even imagine.
A private lander.
And they're not allowed any help getting on or off the stage.
No. And you know what? Make it pay-per-view. Yeah. I will buy it.
I'll go to a theater.
I'll absolutely pay to see that.
A private lander yesterday made the first U.S. touchdown on the moon in more than 50 years, but managed at first just a weak signal back to Earth until flight controllers gained better contact. Despite the spotty communication to start with, Intuitive Machines, the company that built and managed the craft, confirmed it landed upright. But it didn't provide additional details, including whether the lander had reached its intended destination near the moon's south pole. By the end of the day, they did say data finally was starting to stream in. Intuitive Machines also became the first private business to pull off a lunar landing, a feat achieved so far by them and 5 other companies. You might remember last month, U.S. company Astrobotic Technology gave it a shot last month, but they didn't make it to the moon and they crashed back.
Did you see where the Japanese successfully landed their craft on the moon upside down? So it's useless. It can't take
anything.
Can't do anything. The thing landed upside down.
Shots in space, are they?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw some truth at you. All of this, all of it, AI. none of this happened. Yeah. It's all AI.
I suppose the initial moon landing was on a soundstage in Arizona.
I think it was shot in Utah, was it not? Yeah.
Close enough. Yeah. AT&T said the hours-long outage to its U.S. cell phone network yesterday appeared to be the result of a technical error.
Sure.
Yeah. Really?
So I know everybody here read that story, did the same thing you just did, didn't they? We all went,
how come
right.
My phone worked yesterday and those around me, a lot of them, their phones didn't
work? Do you have AT&T?
Yeah.
I believe it was a Wi-Fi issue, or if you were on the Wi-Fi, I believe you were okay.
It was a coding issue, Chris. It was a technical issue. Everything was on the up and up.
I've got the answer to this one, too. You want me to throw some more truth at you?
AI.
Go, no, here we go. China doing a test run.
I know who.
China.
I thought that was a setup. Oh, China.
Doing the test run.
Remember when we just let their balloon take its time going across the country?
Yep.
Them's the good old days. I seen that thing. I seen the balloon.
Yeah, that was a test run.
A update on a story from yesterday. A black high school student's months-long punishment by his Texas school district for not changing his hairstyle does not violate a new state law that prohibits race-based hair discrimination, according to the judge. 18-year-old Daryl George is a junior and has not been in his regular classes at his Houston area high school since August 31st because his school district, Barbers Hill, says he's violating its policy limiting the length of boys' hair. The district filed a lawsuit saying George's long hair, which he wears in tied and twisted locks on top of his head, violates its dress code because it would fall below his shirt collar, eyebrows, or earlobes if he let it down. Just a few hours of testimony in Texas, State District Judge Chap Kane III ruled in favor of the school district, saying its ongoing discipline of George over the length of his hair is legal under the Crown Act. Crown Act, which took effect in September, prohibits race-based hair discrimination and bars employers and schools from penalizing people because of hair texture or protective hairstyles.
John, thank you. I think we have to cut our show's attention and head down to Florida.
Yes.
We certainly do need to do that, but during this month of love, I want to remind all of you garage logicians that you should, every 6 months to a year, get your carpet cleaned. This month is a pretty good month because they do have a great deal going at Zero Res. It's the Love Your Rug special in February, and what you're going to get here is a great value. You're going to get three rooms, Zero Resified, starting at just $119, and they're going to throw in a free hallway. And your air ducts, take care of that right now. This month, take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. I sound like a recording, but they've been in my home. I trust them in yours. 17,000 Google reviews. Go check them out. 4.9 rating. That's amazing. And you know what? You're going to be stuck inside for the next couple months. So get to Zero Res. The Love Your Rug special. You got to say it to get it. Call 952-ZEROREZ or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and tell them you want the rookie Love Your Rug special. Call today for your commercial cleaning estimate, business owners. Yes, your place needs to be nice and clean and Zero Resified. Your business can be Zero Resified by the pros at Zero Res. Spelled forward or backward, it's spelled the same, ZEROREZ.
I'm trying to hear this one.
The Gophers inch closer to a bubble situation.
Yeah, they still got some work to do to get to the bubble. But if they beat Nebraska on Sunday, I think, another one of those beloved 5:30 Sunday games, then Nebraska's playing winning a lot of games. They're probably going to be a tournament team. And if the Gophers beat them, then you can talk about it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Is that game here?
Possibility. No, that's down there.
Why a Sunday 5:30 game? That is an odd
Big
start.
Ten Network.
Jeez.
Yeah, Big Ten Network. They played at home a couple of weeks ago on Sunday at 5:30. That crowd last night, though, from a distance of Fort Myers, seemed very lively. And it was a hell of a game. And that Elijah, the point guard, played fantastic. Usually there's about a 5-minute period during the game when I'm watching it and I say, what the hell are you doing? There was none of that last night. He really played a great game.
And, so you can get the Big Ten Network in Florida.
Yes, but if they're on Peacock, I can't get them.
I see.
I cannot get them on Peacock. And they've had, what, four or five games? But lately they've been going on the Big Ten Network. And this kid from Cottage Grove, man, he is a beast. I hope those other programs around the country aren't writing out their NIL offers already to see him. But somebody's going to have to come up with some money to keep him here next year. Man, he's Jess Settles, who used to play at Iowa, Joe, was the analyst last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he was throwing back to when he had to play against Courtney James and John Thomas and got mugged. Mm-hmm. And he kind of he compared Pharrell Payne to those two behemoths. So they weren't so much strappingly tall, but they would give you lots of bruises. And Pharrell Payne is the same way. And he's benefited from the fact that the refs haven't been calling any touch fouls the last two games. When they blew the game to Iowa, he got fouled out on some cheap little fouls, and that probably cost him.
I find myself rooting for the coach. I don't know much about him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, you know,
he'd only been an assistant. Xavier, basically Patino fired him and as an assistant, and he went to Xavier, and they did okay, but he was certainly not high on the expected list, but they gave him a shot, and didn't look too good for 2 years, but I think, you know what I think? After this year, he might get himself a little two-year extension
because
he's only got 1 year left on the original contract. So
now,
if he'd been Phil Fleck, he'd keep saying, to keep my recruits, I have to keep getting that extension every year so they know I'm going to be here. That's a little bit of a tough sell in the transfer portal era, but it was a good game. It was fun.
What's new with your ball club down there?
Well, we're about to play the Fighting Gophers.
Are you at the park?
Exhibition over. Yeah, I'm at the park. I rose early today and jumped in a car with Dave St. Peter and John Anderson at 6:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to Naples to the Minnesota Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah.
Where John Anderson and had another carload, Molitor and Perkins were in that one. And it was the Twins. They have 12 programs on Friday mornings during the season, Joe.
Yeah, I went down for one of those and spoke at it once.
Yeah, January, February, and March. And they had a good crowd today, 250. And they gave John a standing O, and Perkins and Molly had some great things to say about him. And John almost got misty, not quite, but... you know, this is his 43rd and last year, and I'm not 100% convinced that if he had the option, he'd be back for a couple more. But anyway, I rode down with him and St. Pete, and he got the stories going on the way back that were pretty good. Some of the characters that he'd, you know, Brent Gates played with the Twins, and he played with the Gophers too. They turned him into a switch hitter. And he became known as this kind of loose character. For instance, he left a game one day and left his family there. He forgot that his family was there, and when he got home, he couldn't figure out where his family was.
A total Don Riley.
Yeah. This was before the cell phone days, so he just sat there and wondered where they went. And apparently it eventually occurred to him he left them at the Metrodome. But... anyway, it was, and he had a couple others. Brent Gates was icing his elbow one day, his left elbow, you know, because, John had to point out to him he was right-handed, so he didn't have to. He threw with his right hand, so he didn't have to ice his left elbow.
How are you going to get back to the estate after the game?
We're going to get in the car. The DA is, she decided to just lounge today. So no, I went home for a while.
Oh, I was going to say, if you came right back to the ballpark, you're carless.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I was gone. I was back to the neighborhood for about 3 hours, yeah. And then came back to start hacking.
Leave it to Joe to worry about the logistics of your personal transportation.
Yeah, how are you getting out? Yeah,
right. Patrick, I do know a couple of town ball guys that did that, left the family at the ballpark. Unfortunately, they did it on purpose.
Yes, well,
that happens.
That happens too. But they did a full hour and everybody seemed to be entertained. And Jim Rance was there. So Jim Rance, of course, the winning pitcher in the 1960 College World Series final game when he made the only start of his college or pro career and went 10 innings to beat Southern Cal.
Wow.
And thus earning him the only non-profane nickname of Sid's career. 8 ground balls in Omaha, he called him there he is, 8 ground balls in Omaha. Meaning, if he hadn't gotten 8 ground balls in key situations in Omaha, nobody would ever heard of him, right?
Sounds like a country music song.
Yes.
Instead, he worked 50 years for the Twins. So,
haven't chatted since that remarkable game we both told each other we'd never seen anything like it. The Wild 10 and who were they playing?
7.
Vancouver, was it 10-8 or 10-7?
10-7. You, it's 4-1. I said it's 4-1 now, and the next thing I got from you was says it's now Wild 8. Whoever it was.
They're playing Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
Canucks 6, the best team in the league. What the hell was that?
They just went up to Winnipeg the next night and didn't have it.
Yeah, but they didn't get as many 5-on-3s.
Right.
I didn't see it. Was Vancouver committing murder to get put on all these 5-on-3s? It was. I think there were 4 of them, right?
By the time I got to watch it late afternoon, the 5-on-3s were done. I didn't see those.
Wow, but they scored. Well, you know what? They got your Boldy, who's back, and been back since about the first 3 weeks of the season. And you got your Russian. And then you got Rossi kid is coming along and playing good. So they got some star power now, don't they? Mm-hmm. They got some star power. So
at Edmonton tonight.
That won't be easy. Edmonton's got to have the best record in the league since about the terrible start. And then didn't they have 17 or 18 straight wins, something like that, without a loss.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, I believe it was that club.
Pretty good.
What's the weather like in the fort?
Damn fine today. It was the last 2 days have been really nice, but the wind is howling to right field. So if you hear anything about long home runs to right field, take them with a grain of salt.
The wind's
blowing 25 miles an hour.
We'll talk to you Monday.
Tomorrow we start for real against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then next Tuesday, I'm getting the hell out of here. Or Wednesday, I think.
Well, we'll talk to you Monday from the fort.
All right. See you.
Very good. Thank you. Would you like to take
then
a time off?
I'm going to the grocery store to get some begonias and some kumquats.
Remember the one time he took about a half hour to explain to us that he bought plantains?
Yes,
instead of bananas.
I thought it was a banana. But
it looks like they're similar in disguise.
That's hard, though.
It was banana. I couldn't believe it.
What is wrong with your bananas?
You know what he needed? Quality water.
Oh, yeah.
And he should get that from the best. That's Hofferman water.
You do need it in Florida.
You really do, because they got swamp water down there.
The tap water in Florida ain't as good as Minnesota.
No, it really isn't. So call my friends at Hofferman Water, an independent water treatment dealer. They offer sales, service, and rental options for Kinetico water treatment systems, and it's the best. Kinetico is absolutely the best, and that can include a brand-new water softener, maybe an iron rust or odor filtration system, or you just want to upgrade
have yourself a brand new drinking water system, then my friends at Hofferman and Kinetico are going to be there for you, because the Kinetico system can do so many things that other water softeners just simply cannot do. It's going to cut down on your salt usage, but it's also going to protect your appliances. As we mentioned, bad water can affect almost every aspect of your home. But you get that new system, your showers are better. So is your laundry, your drinking water, your cooking. Everything gets better. So get in touch with my friends at Hofferman Water today, 612-895-2440. That's 612-895-2440. Get them on the schedule and have them come up for that free water analysis. It'll make everything clean and clear, just like your nose. HoffermanWater.com is the website, by the way. They have been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Please tell them that you heard it right here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Scramble.
Partage.
Finally, thank God today is Friday. TGTI Friday. It's the scramble.
You know, I had a scramble yesterday. I left the garage door open.
It's a nice day.
It was beautiful. Oh, today it's 34 and snowing right now, so it's not a garage door open day.
What happens with all this climate change.
Right. Do you know what's going to happen on Monday?
Yeah, we're supposed to get near 60.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going to happen on the 29th, the leap year, on Thursday?
No.
The scholarship application deadline is... what is it? February 29th. So you have until that time, Garage Logicians, to go to mnmasoniccharities.org, click on the scholarships icon, and that will bring you to information about their scholarships, which is what they're promoting during February, because they want to see how many people are going to nominate other great people across the state of Minnesota. Apply right now. There's an icon there. Important dates to remember. Yep, February 29th. Another number to remember. Minnesota Masonic has given over $13 million in scholarships to date. They feature their selfless scholarship program, and that's when whoever's nominated, if you nominate someone and they win, whoever... the nominator was, they split the award. It's a really good deal. It shows that people in the community want to brag about good people. Well, that's basically what you're doing when you apply for a scholarship with Minnesota Masonic Charities. So don't let this deadline pass you by. It is mnmasoniccharities.org. Click on scholarships.
What was I going to tell you?
I was going to tell you that we have our... wonderful Frontline Foundation program. It's easy to donate at GarageLogic.com. Click on the green donate button and help these guys out. Thank you.
The best windows in the world are Renewal by Anderson.
Got it.
They bring you a renewalbyanderson.com/GarageLogic or 651-705-6931. And Renewal by Anderson brings you only because. They bring you the only because.
Okay.
And only because they come to us, in this case, all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada.
The desert.
Where the Lymans are probably feverishly creating itineraries for their next launch into their around-the-world adventures.
Got it.
It's on this day.
February 23rd.
It was on this day.
February 23rd.
In 1854, Winona County was established.
Huh.
Do you know that it was named for a Dakota woman?
I do know that. My parents are from Winona.
A relative of the Mattawamkeag leader Wabasha. Winona means firstborn daughter in the Dakota language.
So you are not the Winona of your family.
That's right.
Yep.
On this day, also in 1854.
2-2-3.
Well, Houston County was created, honoring Sam Houston of Texas, a popular presidential candidate.
Wow, I hate to have like Trump, Minnesota.
Hennepin, Houston, Hubbard are your three H counties.
Got it.
On this day.
2-2-3.
1856. Meeker County was created. It was named for Bradley B. Meeker, one of the first three judges to serve on the Minnesota Supreme Court. McLeod, Meeker, Mille Lacs, Morrison, Mower, Murray. What are the first three M counties?
Meeker.
Monoman, Marshall, Martin, McLeod, Meeker, Mille Lacs, Morrison, Mower, Murray are your M counties. On this day,
223,
in 1892, Watson's Colored Chorus, an African-American musical group with 250 singers from Minneapolis and St. Paul, gave a concert featuring choruses, glees, banjo, guitar, vocal solos, jubilees, and plantation songs at the Minneapolis Lyceum Theater. The best reserved seats cost 50 cents.
Wow.
And on this day,
February 23rd.
In 1983, the late, great Mark Pavlich became the first U.S.-born National Hockey League player to score five goals in a game. The Eveleth native and a member of the gold medal-winning Miracle on Ice 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team that celebrated their 44th anniversary of the victory over the Ruskies last night. Led the New York Rangers to an 11-3 victory over the Hartford Whalers in New York.
Wow.
And Pavs had five of those goals.
I got to say, it's cool that you still have your press pass from that.
I got a basket full of the stuff I did save. It's just a small basket. It's got pins and stuff in it.
What else do you have from that Olympics? Anything else?
I got stamps. I've got... You could go to the post office there and get your stuff stamped where it said Olympic Village or whatever. What else do I have? I don't know.
Do you have any of those bongs from the early 70s, those homemade bongs?
I got a couple of those.
What was the hotel situation like in Lake Placid?
Didn't have one. We had a house.
Oh.
Right across the parking lot from the ice arena.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And to show you the change, I mean, the Lake Placid Winter Olympics in 1980, the Lake Placid High School, which is a little bit bigger than this room, was the headquarters. So every time the Ruskies had a press conference or the Swedes or the Americans, it was in that high school. And the oval for speed skating was on the lawn in front of the high school.
Wow.
And the mountains were a bus ride. And the all figure skating and hockey and whatever were in the arena 200 yards from this house we had.
We know your MO nowadays. When you arrived there at Lake Placid, did you immediately start looking for an earlier flight home like you always do now?
No, Kenny, I didn't, because I knew that I would have been there for the duration of the games.
That must have pained you.
No, it was very interesting.
Well, you were a hockey guy, so of course you were looking
John
for that
Gilbert part. Was our main hockey guy. Oh. I was there as a columnist. I could write about anything I wanted.
I see.
And, but I made the wise decision to go to those. I went to the Russia-U.S. game, and then, of course, I went to the gold medal game over Finland.
If we play them 10 times, they might win.
Well, that Ruski team, remember, 2 weeks before, Madison Square Garden beat the Olympic team 10-1.
Right.
I think Herbie shamed him into that victory.
Again, I'm watching that movie tonight.
You don't have the talent.
That's right.
But you certainly got the soul.
Was he saying that to us?
We had Robbie McClanahan on for the 4 years ago for the 40th anniversary.
That was 4 years ago already. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That'll go with those guys all their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just fantastic.
And we aired, by the way, I forget who said it, if it was you, Rook, or whatever, but the You'll Take It to Your Grave was before the gold medal game, not the Russian game.
They had a bobsled run that looked like something from Excelsior Amusement Park, you know, a bunch of wood rafters up there in the mountain. And then they exploded. And I think the Olympics exploded because of that hockey team.
Oh,
That hockey team ignited the...
Could they pull that off today, the 80 Olympics at Lake Placid?
Oh, God, no. No room.
Well, he's one of the guy. He's one of the guy. One of the players on our team.
I still want to know who he was talking about.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter.
GLers, if you want full video and full show audio, including before, during, and after the show with the entire Garage Logic crew, then sign up for the Town Council membership. Those are just a few of the great perks, and you'll even get your own official member card and a certificate. Joe is signing them before the show today. Those of you on the town council got to witness that firsthand. Let's see. You also get exclusive invites to, yep, that kind of thing. Learn more about the town council and become a member today at GarageLogic.com. And as Rookie mentioned, don't forget, if you have the means, please make a donation to the Frontline Foundation.
I don't care if it's $5. Yep. Do it.
Every dollar is going to help. Go to GarageLogic.com. You'll see the banner ad right there for the Frontline Foundation. And, yeah.
Would you do one for me?
And thank you to those who have given.
Yes. I'll even use a credit card.
All right. Do it right now.
Here.